have been made to individuals or groups, but are not, what's the word I'm looking for? The church approves of them, but it's up to you whether you want to
believe or not. You don't have to believe in apparitions. Exactly.
So
right.
So private revelations, such as those to Sister Faustina, and those are unbelievably wonderful. And but the church says that the public revelations
are what we have to believe, and the private ones we don't have to necessarily believe. Is what
okay,
the
good.
Catechism is actually
good.
Saying.
I just wanted to get that straight.
And there are, if you, in doing this session on apparitions, which we are putting together for our Families of Faith thing, someone found the map of apparitions across the world, across the centuries, and oh my goodness, there are tons of them, and only a few of them have been approved. But that doesn't mean that people haven't been getting messages. I mean, you and I know that the Holy Spirit tells us what to do all the time.
Sure,
sometimes
yeah.
we're not listening. But who's to say that these other ones aren't out there? But I'd encourage people to go online and look for that map of the apparitions. You'd be absolutely astounded at what's out there, because I think Mary, like any mother, is just trying to say, hey, guys, you know, get your act together here. We need to turn things around. We need to look at what's going on in our world today, and we need my son. The world needs my son. So back in that Medjugorje thing, while it was a very powerful spiritual experience, and God was acting in interesting little ways, as he always does, just a little aside, I decided when I went there I was going to make this really good confession. And there's confessions being heard all day long in all kinds of different languages. But in my own little prideful way, I didn't want to go to any priest that I knew. Do I know anybody in Medjugorje? No, only the priest who was leading
who
the tour.
Who went with you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every time I tried to go to confession, the only priest hearing confession in English was that guy. And it was like a little slap. Okay, dump the pride and get in there and do what you need to
Humble
do.
Humble yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, oh, okay, thank you. I got that.
Well, Don, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I know people, and my present self included, that sometimes I'll go priest shopping, you know, for my confession.
And that's all right. You know, if that makes you more comfortable. It was always interesting when I worked for the diocese. I'm like, well, there is no way. I mean, every priest in the entire diocese knew my voice from the phone. So it was like, well, I can't find anybody.
Well, and you can go behind the screen and disguise your voice, but Jesus still knows who you are.
Exactly right. So that's what's the point? Just put yourself out there and say what you're supposed to say. Anyway, back to good old Monsignor McCune. It's like, what do you want to go there for? I was like, what? And then when I thought it through, I thought, he's so right, isn't he? We're looking for something on the other side of the world, which is probably 10 minutes from our house, in a more powerful peace, by going into the church and sitting with the Lord himself and receiving the Lord in Eucharist.
Yeah, right here at this building that we're in,
exactly.
St. Mary's Hospital, the Adoration Chapel.
Exactly.
Is available 24/7, Mass on Tuesday and Thursday.
Exactly. Yeah. And yet we're looking for something in some other spot, not recognizing the wonder, the beauty, the power of what we have in the Eucharist and in Mass. It's just a very wonderful thing to have.
Well, Donna, I've been to two places where apparitions, approved apparitions, have occurred. The first one was in Knock in Ireland.
Oh, wow.
I went to the church there and prayed before the altar where the Blessed Mother appeared with St. Joseph, St. John the Evangelizer, an angel, and a lamb, a pure white lamb appeared on the altar. And this went on for 4 or 5 days. And people would come in the evening and see this apparition of St. Joseph there with the Blessed Mother, St. John, the one that wrote the gospel, and the Lamb of God on the altar.
Wow.
And it was an amazing thing. And just the peace that you felt, you know, at that place. Although there were tour buses and thousands of people, when you went into that chapel in groups, it was really quite amazing. You could feel it. You could feel it. Now, the other one that I went to just a few years ago in Champion, Wisconsin, which is just east of Green Bay, Our Lady of Good Help. And that is, if you listen to Relevant Radio and you've, in the afternoon, Drew Mariani talks a lot about this. And our satellite provider, Relevant Radio, has a lot of masses out there. And that happens to be a church-approved apparition Vatican approved, that is only 6 hours away from here by car.
Wow.
You can drive there in 6 hours, and you can spend a day or two. It's a beautiful place. And what happened there, back during the 1860s, there was a big fire, the Peshtigo Fire, and it burnt up a major portion of central Wisconsin. It was one of the biggest fires in the history of the United States, and it was in Wisconsin. It was well known at the time, but there was an event that occurred during the Peshtigo fires that took over the news. You know how they are today on the news, breaking this just in, the Chicago fire.
Oh,
Mrs. O'Leary's cow allegedly kicked over the lantern and caught the barn on fire and burnt Chicago down. This was going on at the same time as the Peshtigo fires in Wisconsin.
Hmm.
So it kind of took precedent in the news. However, this fire engulfed all of the Green Bay area and proceeded towards Champion, Wisconsin, where a nun named Sister Adele had a congregation of children. It was a parish there in this small town, and the fire was consuming everything. It was just eating its way across Wisconsin right towards Champion, and things looked hopeless. Well, the Blessed Mother appeared to her and told her that they needed to pray the rosary and they needed to repent for their sins. And the entire town walked around in a circle around this church and around part of the village praying the rosary. And when the fire got to this town, it rained and it saved Champion, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Now, it went around and burned on the other side as
wow.
well.
Wow.
And there's some great books on this story about the Peshtigo fire, about a priest that tried to take a tabernacle out of one of the churches, and it got lost and fell in the river, and it was found years later. Amazing stuff. But the Blessed Mother appeared and told them what they needed to do to save their town. And she told Adele to teach the children. You know, her main thing out of this was to teach the children to continue the faith in that Wisconsin area. Now, this was antebellum before the Civil War, but it was important to teach the children and keep the faith. And the fire was just immense. It was an immense fire. Now, it had wind tornadoes in it. It spread ashes and flames and sparks for miles.
Wow.
Now, Mrs. O'Leary's cow may not have been responsible for that fire, because in these wind tornadoes, buildings and entire buildings were lifted into these tornadoes of fire and dropped all over the area, and that's why the fire kept spreading
wow.
from area to area. And they said, meteorologists said, it would not have been impossible for sparks from the Peshtigo fire to have actually set Chicago on fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Wasn't Mrs. O'Leary's cow after all? Well,
maybe, Mrs. O'Leary was the scapegoat, I'm afraid.
Yeah, probably true.
Good
probably
Irish
true.
Lady.
Probably
you know?
True.
So the rain put out the fire surrounding the area of the church, and the church stands to this day. In the basement of this church is the trunk of the tree where Mary appeared to Adele.
Oh, wow.
And you can go down there and pray, and it's amazing. And the other thing about it, Donna, like you said, is the confessions are heard all the time there too. And the priests up there are amazing. It's not that you go in and do the sign of the cross, say your sins, and your act of contrition, and you're out. I mean, they talk to you. They counsel. They give their insight. They listen. And that's so important. They listen, and then they give you advice or tips or how to improve your prayer life or how to deal with this problem. And it's just an amazing place. And I think the Blessed Mother steps in and assists those priests in asking the right questions and giving the right counsel, so that we really bear our souls to the Lord and can truly ask for forgiveness. It's like you said, confession was just a little different there, being on the very grounds that the Blessed Mother had stood in the apparition of Our Lady of Good Help.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I think there's something to be said for confession, not to say anything about not regular confession at our parish, because that's always a wonderful thing to do, but any kind of experience where you're on a retreat or you're at one of these sites, I think your heart is more open, your soul is more open. And so those words affect us a little bit.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like you said, if you're on a retreat or a pilgrimage like that, you're focused anyway mm-hmm. on the faith.
Yeah.
You know, your mind is in a different place. You may stop in Our Lady of Lourdes, as you're up heading toward the mall or something, you got other things on your mind, and maybe you miss Mass, so you go in and you make a confession. But when you're on a trip like that, whether it's the White House retreat or whether it's to one of these apparition sites, if you're in the right frame of mind, that mm-hmm. confession mm-hmm. can bring you to tears of joy when you leave.
That's
amazing.
True. That's true.
Amazing stuff.
And still saying that we have some wonderful great confessors here in town. We're very,
oh,
very
yes,
close
absolutely.
To the guys we have. They're wonderful.
Absolutely.
I was struck again by Pray the Rosary, that's what Mary said, and the fact that that's something that we're constantly called to in all of these apparitions is back to that rosary. The rosary as a weapon against evil is how it's often proclaimed. And the fact that the Dominicans wearing that rosary on the left side of their body is like the knight would have worn his sword.
Ah.
And it's our sword of prayer. And in this time in our world with all the things that are going on, we need that sort of prayer. Is it a Marian prayer? Yes, it's a Marian prayer to that pure conduit to lead us to Christ. But St. John Paul said that a rosary without meditation is like a body without a soul. So what are we meditating on? We're meditating on the life of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and how that reflects in our life today, how we can connect with that. So it's just a call, once again, to praying the rosary. It's not a mistake that the 100th anniversary was right now of
yeah.
Fatima, when we need it so much with all that's going on in our world. And if we don't hear that message, pray for the conversion of sinners and pray the rosary, then who knows?
Yeah.
But it's up to us to, in fact, look to that more often, daily Mass, and definitely that rosary. You can say the rosary in the car. You can say a couple Hail Marys while you're filling the gas tank. You know, you can be praying without having to totally separate yourself out. When everybody's busy life, you can do it.
Well, St. Paul told us we should pray always.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And we can do that with that prayer.
We can, exactly.
Well, you know, Donna, I could talk for another hour with you about this. I just find this so interesting that that our Lord has found fit to send his mother to give us messages on how we can get closer to him through her. And I feel sorry for people that just don't understand what the Blessed Mother is all about. You know, that they think that there's no intercessor to God but Jesus, and that's true. But there are intercessors to Jesus, and that's his mother and the saints. And that brings us back to our wrap-up on All Souls Day, yesterday All Saints Day. I want to thank you, Donna, for spending this time with me. I know you do a lot of research when you come into the show, and it shows. I really enjoyed talking to you about this, and we'll continue this conversation maybe on another show. We have to get to the bishop's column. We promise the bishop we'll get his column on every show if we can, and we're going to do that right after this. Donna's going to stay with me for the rest of the show and help me with the community calendar and the gospel, so that's a good thing. All right, this is Dave Slade and Donna Dossman here on The Cradle and the Convert. We'll be back with the Bishop's Column, the Gospel Preview, and Community Calendar.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute. Patriotism is a natural virtue. It's natural to love our country just as it's natural to love our family and love our home. But G.K. Chesterton says, the true patriot is always a little sad. Now, why is that? Because everyone who loves his country wishes it were better. Chesterton says we have to hate the world enough to want to change it, and love it enough to think it worth changing. So when we criticize our nation, we do it out of love, because we want to improve it, and because we want to be proud of it. We obviously don't want to be ashamed of it. That's why we want our country to be virtuous and moral and godly. And Chesterton says, the more transcendental is your patriotism, the more practical are your politics. Want more than a minute? Visit us at chesterton.org.
All right. Welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. And as promised, here is Bishop Thomas John Paprocki's column.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the vicious sniper attack that killed 58 people and wounded nearly 500 at a concert in Las Vegas has been described as a senseless tragedy, a senseless shooting, a senseless massacre, and senseless violence. Indeed, senseless is a very accurate description of what happened, since it makes no sense and there is no rational basis for anyone to do something so monstrous. Law enforcement officials and investigators have expressed their frustration that they have not been able to find any clues to the killer's motives after scouring all the available evidence and interviewing people who knew him. Sometimes evil is just plain evil and needs to be recognized as such. Catholic teaching addresses the question of evil. If God the Father Almighty, the creator of the ordered and good world, cares for all his creatures, why does evil exist? To this question, as pressing as it is unavoidable and as painful as it is mysterious, no quick answer will suffice. Only Christian faith as a whole constitutes the answer to this question. The goodness of creation, the drama of sin, and the patient love of God who comes to meet man by his covenants, the redemptive incarnation of his Son, his gift of the Spirit, his gathering of the Church, the power of the sacraments, and his call to a blessed life, to which free creatures are invited to consent in advance, but from which, by a terrible mystery, they can also turn away in advance. There is not a single aspect of the Christian message that is not in part an answer to the question of evil. Some evils are readily apparent because of their obvious brutality. Some other evils, however, are more subtle because they are not so evident to everyone and are cloaked in high-sounding rhetoric like choice, yet they are also morally repugnant. An example of this type of camouflage but morally despicable evil is the bipartisan approval of taxpayer-funded abortion in Illinois in the form of House Bill 40, passed by the Democratic-controlled Illinois General Assembly under the leadership of Senate President John Cullerton and Speaker of the House Michael Madigan, and then signed into law by Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. Despite his promises to veto House Bill 40 if it reached his desk, Governor Rauner broke his word and signed it anyway. Promise-breaking politicians are nothing new. Several centuries before Christ, the psalmist wrote, "Put no trust in princes." Biblical commentary says that these princes are probably to be understood as powerful and rich leaders rather than as members of a royal family. Such powerful and rich leaders are the princes of modern-day politics. A politician is only as good as his word, and a politician who breaks his word simply cannot be trusted. Governor Rauner's broken promise and signing of taxpayer-funded abortion is shameful, but it is even more disgraceful that so many of the legislators who promoted and voted for House Bill 40 are Catholic. No one can facilitate the killing of unborn babies and still be a Catholic in good standing. No one can support abortion rights and claim to be following the teachings of Jesus Christ and his Church. Christianity and abortion are inherently incompatible. From the very first century, the teaching of the apostles known as the Didache taught, "Do not murder a child by abortion or kill a newborn infant." Some may object to talking about abortion in the same context as mass murder on the scale of the Las Vegas sniper shooting. It is certainly reprehensible that a cold-blooded murderer killed 58 people and wounded almost 500 more. But the number of unborn babies killed every year is even more appalling. According to the World Health Organization, every year in the world there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. This corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions per day. In the United States, there are over 3,000 abortions per day. The Illinois Department of Public Health reports that 34,498 abortions took place in Illinois during 2015, the most recent year for which numbers are available. That comes to 95 abortions per day in Illinois. Now the majority of Democratic legislators and our Republican governor are forcing Illinois taxpayers to pay for this slaughter of innocent children. They should be ashamed of themselves. The Catholic Church observes October as Respect Life Month. The theme for the 2017-2018 Respect Life program in the United States is, "Be not afraid." For Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." May we not be afraid to speak and act boldly but confidently to protect human life from conception to natural death. May God give us this grace.
All right, Bishop Paparocki, thank you for those kind words. Now I want to go right straight to the gospel. This is the gospel preview for next Sunday. We always give you a preview of what's coming up Sunday so you will have had a chance to hear it and think about it. And then when Father reads it at Mass, you'll be able to listen to his words and listen to his homily. And this Sunday's Gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and it's Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All of their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. No one on earth your father, but you have one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. That's one of the ones that we have some trouble with, because we call our Catholic priests Father, and Jesus says, "Call no man Father." But we know that's not really what Jesus meant, because he called Joseph his father. Mm-hmm. And it was a title reserved father as the Father in the Holy Trinity. It didn't mean you can't call. He also said, don't call anybody teacher. Well, we have teachers and we call them teachers. Mm-hmm. And we have rabbis in the Jewish faith and we call them rabbis. But to call no one father, in my opinion, simply meant you compare no one or hold no one to the same dignity as God the Father. So that's just my opinion. I hope you'll listen to your priest's homily this Sunday and see what he has to say about that. I think the other thing they'll talk about is the humility that's talked about in that gospel. Humility is something that, for many of us, has to be learned. You know, when I left the police department, I was a pretty big wig. There was only one wig bigger, and that was Mark. When I left the department after having that authority and power, I had to relearn humility, and it was difficult. When I came home, I thought I should still be boss. Well, I was told, "You're not boss. Mm. You know, this is a partnership, and you have to learn humility and drop some of that pride." So that I did, or at least I'm attempting to. Now, we're running short on time this morning. I want to go over a couple community calendar things, and the first one is, in support of the work of the Veterans Assistance Commission, Help for Heroes has a fund to provide our Macon County veterans with some extra funding. The Texas Roadhouse will be hosting a 10% night for the fund. The night is Thursday, November 9th, from 4 until 10. Anything you purchase at the Texas Roadhouse that evening, if you tell your waitress that you're donating to Help for Heroes, 10% of your bill will be donated to the Macon County Veterans Assistance. If you want to pick up some flyers on that, you can stop by the Veterans Assistance Commission office in the county building at 141 South Main. They also have Help for Heroes t-shirts for a $10 donation, and they're all tax deductible. Help for Heroes has provided necessities for nearly 300 veterans this year. To make a request for needs, fill out a grant, go to the VAC office there in the old Ambassador, the county building, and see Chad Woolen. Also, on November 9th, the same night, you go out to eat and then go to the play.
That's
Tolton.
What I was thinking, yeah. Yes, exactly right, yeah.
We talked to Andre Goodnight a couple weeks ago on the show, and Andre's a great guy. He portrays Father Augustus Tolton in a one-man show mm-hmm. that will be at Lourdes. It's a free show, 6:30. Curtain goes up, although there's probably not really a curtain. Mm-hmm. I believe it's in the church, so we would really love for you to come and join us for that show.
I think people need to realize that Father Tolton is ours. He was a priest in Quincy.
Yes.
And so it's an amazing thing for our diocese to have Father Tolton as the first African-American priest, but from our diocese here in Quincy. So
absolutely right.
Do that.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's one other thing. And Donna, why don't you fill us in on Couples Night Out?
This is our November Couples Night Out, which is on November the 6th, Monday night at 6:30 at the Beach House. We're going to have some fun this time. We're going to play Catholic trivia. We're going to play trivia with the sacrament of marriage and marriage in general. So how much do you know about marriage? Like, how much gold is used every year making wedding and engagement rings? Okay. Or tell me a little bit about the sacrament of marriage. So I think it's going to be a fun evening. Great food at the Beach House. They're very generous with their portions. And, of course, we've got that cash bar. So come on down at 6:30. It's $30 a couple. Have some fun. Meet Catholics from Catholic couples from all over the city. We really need you to be there. The reservation information is in your bulletin, or you can simply call our house at 422-4534.
All right. Thanks. And next week, St. Pat's School is having their annual craft show at St. Patrick's Church. Well, actually, it's on November 11th. From 9 to 2. So I'll talk a little bit about that more next week. But I'm out of time, Donna, but I've got a prayer I want to close with this evening, or this morning. And it begins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O gentlest heart of Jesus, ever present in the Blessed Sacrament, ever consumed with burning love for the poor captive souls in purgatory, have mercy on the souls of thy servants. Be not severe in thy judgment, but let some drops of thy precious blood fall upon our beloved departed. And do thou, O merciful Savior, send thy angels to conduct thy souls, the souls of thy servant, to a place of refreshment and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on The Cradle and the Convert. We know your time is precious, and it means a lot that you can spend a few minutes with us in conversation and prayer. I want to thank Donna for her time today as well, and I hope you, our listeners, enjoyed the show and learned something today.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.